Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready now to embark on the Word, and we thank you because we live by it. Father, it's our spiritual food, how important it is. A lot of people don't realize the importance of it, but Father, we do. We understand the importance of it. And so I ask that you help guide my lips and preach the Word that you put in my heart to share with them, and may they have ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we were talking a little bit before the holiday seasons. We were starting a series of how to deal or how to handle with the cares and stress of this life. And I haven't really gotten too much feedback on people not having any problems. I've always gotten a lot of information about people having problems. And so I thought I'd do a little teaching on how do we really deal with the conflicts and the things that actually happen in life. And when you're a pastor, you begin to seek answers for people. And the thing that you want your people to get more than anything else is how they can stand on their own two feet before the Lord, where you're not depending on anybody but God. And that's important for your life, because I can't be where you all are in life. And life doesn't deal the most favorable circumstances for people. Matter of fact, right now, we have a society that doesn't know how to deal with theft. They don't know how to deal with identity stealing and things like that. And so you have to really be on the ball. You can't even answer your phone without having the proper understanding of what comes out of your mouth, because they can use whatever comes out of your mouth against you, even on your own telephone. Now, I never heard of that until recently. Whenever you answer the phone, say hello. Never say, yes, it's good to hear from you today, because it can take those words and get you to approve something that they're promoting. And isn't that crazy? You know, I never before really understood how important credit bureaus are. I never knew that my natural life begins and ends with a credit bureau. That's true, you know. What's your credit score? Somebody asked me, what's your FICO? And I says, what's a FICO? They said, well, it's a credit score. Oh, I didn't know that a FICO was a credit score. I thought it was a fight that you could do without. You know, I don't know. But today, our society is really faced with being ripped off, stolen from. They're targeting elderly people and their retirement plans. Isn't that horrible? I mean, it's just, and so I think we're living in a time period where we really need the inner witness of God in our life as believers to be able to face all the problems that this world has to offer, if that's a good thing. But I want to bring to you for a second, our minds are very important to our life, in case you hadn't figured that out by now. And it is important how we think. And before we gave our heart and life to Jesus, we sought according to what life had dealt us. And a lot of unbelievers today, they're doing the same thing. They're facing the hardships of life only from a natural viewpoint. That's the only way that they can handle them. What other way could they handle them? They can't trust in God because they don't have Him in their life. And so they have a way of thinking, a set way of thinking of how to deal with the cares and strife of this world. But it really doesn't bring an answer for them that you actually find when you give your heart and life to Jesus. Then you have a whole different way of viewing things, or you're supposed to have a whole different way of viewing things, so that God can give you life that He has promised you more abundantly. And He's not talking about just eternal life, but He's also talking about life here. You can enjoy life here. You really can, and enjoy it in an abundance. But the thing about it is that we as believers, we have to get a revelation that once we come into the kingdom of God, our lives have to change. And it's not that you get the opportunity for your life to change, but it's absolute imperative that you begin to realize how important it is for you to change in yourself to face life and what it has to offer today. Case in point, we brought out how people usually try to deal with the cares and the things that enter into life, and we covered them from a human viewpoint, and we find that that's not really a constructive way to do it. A lot of times it just only puts a band-aid on the problem. But one thing that God promises when he comes into our heart and life, he promises to do something on the inside of us so that what is on the inside comes out to affect the outside. Amen? And how that's performed is through our thought life. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul made it very clear that our warfare really is in the area of how we think. And especially when we face the matters of life, we should have an understanding of how we're thinking in the immediate process of whatever we're faced with, whether it's a favorable situation or an unfavorable. A lot of times people don't realize even in favorable situations, it still requires discernment even to handle that. Because without understanding how to handle your life in a favorable situation, that can even undo you. How many times you've heard of people, you know, hitting the jackpot and it's destroyed their life rather than enhanced it. And so when you're coming into the kingdom of God and you realize that you're going to face life by how you think, then thinking is very important. It is an important aspect of our life, how we think. And that's where our warfare is. That's what the Bible says it is. But the unique thing about it is God, when he gets into our life, he gives us a new way of thinking, a new way of responding. And it's the best way to respond, but from the natural viewpoint, it's the most difficult. Now, I've been listening to other believers and asking them questions over a period of quite a few years, you know, on certain things. And I begin to realize there is an MO, a mode of operation that believers have taken that is not very conducive to changing the way you think so that you face things in an increasing manner. How many of you know that when you were brought into this world, you got under the law of life? We call it the law of Genesis. Your life, once you came out of the womb, your life now has entered in to the laws of operation. And people don't understand the laws of operation. And I found that when you become a believer, you have a different set of laws that come into focus. But before you are a believer, you are a product of whatever event happens in your life, and you're a product of how you respond to it apart from the Word of God. But once you've got the Word of God brought into your life, then you have to realize you have to take on the way God thinks, not the way that you used to think or the way that you're accustomed to think. And even in a Christian society, even in a Christian environment, you've got to be careful how you're hearing things and how people are responding to things, because a lot of times it's not right. Even though they call themselves a Christian, it doesn't mean they're free from whatever the world has to still offer you. I thought just because I came into the world and become a believer, I had a special place in Christ that the world didn't have, or why would I even mess with Christianity? It was just part of my thinking, but I didn't realize I was still as vulnerable as a non-believer to the aspects of this life. I hadn't realized that God gave me a new set of rules by which I can adjust my way of thinking so that I can face life a little differently, and I would face life for an increase, a positive increase, not a decrease, but a positive increase. How many of you are following what I'm talking about? So what are the laws of increase? that involved our spectrum as believers. Well, I call it the law of words. God planted His Word in our midst so that we can use the law of His words. Then we have what we call the law of sowing and reaping. This is where our financial income stands within in the perimeters of our life that it didn't stand in before, but it does now. And it's called the law of sowing and reaping. So the Bible explains the law of sowing and reaping according to the way God thinks. Then we have what we call the law of time. You see, before I became a believer, I threw my time away. But once I became a believer, time now has value to me. Especially at my age now, it really has value to me. But time becomes valuable. And especially, not only for your own personal life, but for the lives that you touch, you're around. Time is very important for you. Then what we have now that we didn't have before, we had this law before, but it wasn't according to the way God thinks, but we call it the law of discipline. Then we have what we call the law of use. Then we have the law of wisdom. And then, of course, we have the law of faith. And all these work together for our good, to bring an increase to us. And so with that thought in mind, let's go over and let's deal with an issue that's vitally important. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go over there to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're talking about how are we going to face the things that approach us in this fallen world. And people, I'm going to tell you something. I shared this Wednesday night when I started in on the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to break that prayer down. John and I are going to work on getting it typed out for you so that when we go through it, it'll help give you instruction. But people, I'm going to tell you something. God has put you and I in such a beautiful, powerful strength position in Him that if you understand the benefits of prayer, you are facing a world that the world has to bow down to you because it's centered under the Lord Jesus Christ now. You follow what I'm saying? It's not in the causative sense of the Old Testament saints. We're in the predictableness that Jesus has anchored us in Him. And that prayer life of ours has a powerful position in Him. That's why we have to develop our prayer life as well. So that when we face the circumstances of life, well, our mind, our thinking, the way we think, is a helmet of salvation. It's our preservative. It's our protector. And we know how to deal with situations in life. Not only for our own personal life, but for our loved ones and friends as well. So we have to learn how to develop our prayer life. It's very important. But where to have you turn to? 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to notice something here. The first time I read this, it really disturbed me. Because I didn't understand it. Now I understand it. But in 1 Peter chapter 4... let's go to verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now let me explain this statement here in this verse. If you don't know how to interpret this particular verse, you wouldn't understand the sufferings that He's referring to. You wouldn't understand the sufferings that He's referring to. What was the thing that He suffered on the cross? He gave up His life. He gave up His life that we might inherit resurrection life. And what it's actually saying here, that that once you receive, become of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Why? Because when He gave His life on that cross, He crucified not only Himself, but He crucified you and me, the world, to Himself as well. And through resurrection life, we inherited a new life, and we ought to be excited about that. We now have a position to face this world that we never had before. We have a position now that resurrection life has gave us as an inheritance so that we can face what we face with in this life. Now, it does not say you'll never have another problem. It means you were put into a position that you ought to be glad with exceeding joy that you're now in that position of resurrection life. And you know what? When we go through the tests and trials of life, we don't think resurrection life. The first thing we think about is, oh, woe is me. What am I going through this for? No, I'll give it to you like it is. Praise God. Because you guys know how to interpret it. Hallelujah. Now he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, I know there's another part to this verse that says, on their part there's blasphemy, but on your part he is glorified. That's never been in any translation. Translators put that in there. But actually it says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. I'll put it another way, meddler. You meddle in everybody else's affairs but your own. A thief, an evildoer, or as a meddler in other people's matters? Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in name. Now, it says in this matter, but actually in name. So when you've taken on the name of Christ and you have a new life allotted to you, now you can face life and the sufferings that life has to bring your way. You can face it now with a whole entirely different new position in Christ. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Isn't that good? Now, of course, you know that if you're a thief or an evildoer or a murderer, you know what? The law does not yield the sword in vain. It's because you brought it on yourself. But if you hadn't brought it on, but you're suffering on behalf of the kingdom of God, then that's okay. But notice it didn't say you won't. Now, it goes on to say, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So, if you and I want to be successful and we want to face life through that new resurrected, powerful life that God has allotted to us, then we should be doing the things that would cause us to suffer rightly, not wrongly. I don't know if you guys remember in the news, there was quite a few years ago, there was a lady on death row, and I forgot her name, but she was in the news. She had had the support of several churches that she was divinely born again, but she took a life of another person in her bedroom, stabbed her to death, and she was put on death row. And it was the last woman that was actually, I think, put to death by our state. But the Christian church world was crying out to release her because she's a genuine born again and had the How many of you guys remember that? Even had the prison that she was in behind her and everything. Said she was genuinely a new person. And so all the believers were rallying there at the prison to release her and everything. And her testimony was, no, it's right that I give my life for the wrong that I've done. And so they did put her on death row. Do you guys remember that? You don't even remember that. Wow. Well, she definitely went home to be with the Lord, but, she's a prime example that she knew that she had to stand for her crime. I'll never forget another guy that was put on death row for taking the lives of a young couple. And the family got into the traffic and almost didn't get there in time for his execution. But they did get there and they pulled the curtain back and he was laying on the table there and they asked the families if they had anything to tell him. And no, they were ranting and raving, kill him, you know, and this and that. And then he turned over and he says, I've given my life to the Lord and I have one regret, that I only have one life to give for the two that I took. So you knew he was genuinely saved. And so then he passed on. Well, it showed the mother of the parents on the graveside of the children that were crucified. And she was sitting there and it showed her making the remark. She said, well, if heaven receives him, then I don't want nothing to do with heaven. Well, she's more of a murderer than he was, you know, in actuality. Because when he got there, he wasn't known by the person he was here once he got born again. And so it's an important thing to understand that how heaven looks at things and how we look back towards heaven in things. And especially when we're covering the issues of what we're faced with in life. Now, this is very interesting because he says, for judgment must begin at the house of God. And that's so true. What will the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved. And I'm going to put this, make this clear now. If the righteous man, because the article is there, if the righteous man is difficult to bring to a place of being saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And what this is actually, the reason I had you to go here to understand something, that when you're under the persecutions and the sufferings of this natural world, you know you're still a witness and testimony to those who are outside of what you're going through, and they'll look at you how you're handling the present situation you're in. And it is important, even when we suffer and we're going through things, to have a good testimony of how we're going to handle the situation we're in. Are you following me? For their sake. Because, see, if judgment doesn't begin at the house, then where are their thinking is going to be? Actually, their thinking is they're no better off than we are when we go through sufferings and go through the things of life. And people, God wants us to be a good witness and testimony. Even though it seems unfair, still we have to be an example of what God called us to be, especially when we face the sufferings and the trials of this life. Sure, we don't deserve it, but it comes our way anyway. Since when were we born into this world with fairness of life on our certificate? You ain't going to find it on yours, I guarantee you. Now, you might want to write some of these things down because you might have found them in you. But when you face the things and the trials of life, there's some ways some believers take to thinking that they have no business taking this kind of thinking. Number one, this is very important, that when you're in a test and trial, you do not entertain the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Because sometimes when you you adhere to the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, then it's God's will of the situation that I've gotten into. And it might not necessarily be true at all. It might be something you put yourself into. But I got news for you. I want you to know this right now. I want you to get a hold of this if you don't get a hold of anything else. Psalms 139, God is committed to you. In spite of you. God is committed to you. So you've got to stay away from that sovereignty thinking, thinking that this was planned by God. You know, John and I were talking, and he came up with the interpretation of the causative sense. And a lot of people didn't understand that until Kenneth Hagin started teaching it, that much of the Old Testament is in the causative sense. And what I mean by causative, and I had to even ask John to make sure I had the right understanding of it, it literally means God had to respond to something that was dealt to him. Are you following me? Something that mankind dealt to God. And so God had to respond in a teaching way. Are you following me? And so you cannot discover the heart of God out of the Old Testament. You can read the Old Testament until you turn blue in the face. But I got news for you. A veil is still over your heart until it turns to the New Testament. I got that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It said, as long as they're reading the Old Testament, a veil is over their heart. In other words, they can't see as to the other side. But why? Because everything was in the causative sense. You can't know the heart of God out of the Old Testament. You have to know the heart of God out of the New Testament. And you have to realize He's speaking to you one way in a Son. Through the witness of Christ. Not out of the witness of the Old Testament, but out of the witness of the New. Then when you see that witness, you can go back to the Old Testament, and then you understand the causative sense in many of the cases. One of them is the servants, the serpents. In the Old Testament it says, and God sent the fiery serpents among the people. And people, that was interpretation from the prophet. That was not an interpretation from the heart of God, because we find the change over the New Testament in Corinthians where it says the people murmured and complained and rebelled and didn't obey God and then become struck with a lot of snakes. Did you know that God tried to divert them from going that way to begin with, and they disobeyed God? See, you wouldn't have understood that until you understood the New Testament. That's why Jesus had to appear. He had to manifest what God really was like. He had to show them what agape was really about. So if you're going to feast on the Old Testament, just remember one thing. You ain't going to find the heart of God there. You got to get over into the New Testament to find out what He was really like. And then it puts everything in the Old Testament in the right perspective. You got to stay away from this sovereignty thinking that everything has been designed by God. Even your mistakes that you chose to make. Yeah, right. Number two, everything's been predestined to happen. You know, there's nothing in my New Testament that said God predestined us to slavery and circumstances of life and everything. The predestination that He was talking about is what Christ was predestinated for you and I to inherit, what He was predestined to suffer for. You got to get to things in the right perspective. And another thing, this is a terrible thing. You always find it in everything. That God uses evil to train and instruct. Yeah. This thinking too. God allows evil to happen in order to judge the evil in us. Here's another one. They use the Word of God in teaching grace in a way, or interpret it in a way, sin is allowed to have dominion in our life. And another way of thinking is they interpret out of context that they use characters in the Bible as an excuse to allow a reason why they have unfavorable circumstances over their own life. Now, I want to share something with you about our minds. I can relate this story because I lived it. And I heard a young man, a young quarterback by the name of Mahomes on Kansas City. He's 23 years old. He's a little kid. A very good friend of Russell Wilson because their families were hurt together in baseball. And when they were interviewing Mahomes, 23 years old, and he was talking about how overwhelmed his thinking was of the position that he put himself into. And it reminded me when I joined karate school and they put a white belt on me. And I didn't know that those were the learning years. But they were also the painful years because they mixed you up with another white belt. And white belts have no control. They don't know how to pull their punches. They don't know how to pull their kicks. And you end up with bruised bodies. And I'll never forget that the first day I stepped out on the dojo and looked at all these developed karate experts. Blue belts, orange belts, black belts, brown belts. And they started fighting committee. And I looked at them and my brain could not comprehend where their movements came from. And they were so fast and they were moving so quickly that I never saw their moves. And I was thinking to myself, well, I'm glad I'm not in there with that bunch. And then my instructor goes, Jan, it's your turn. Go. My brain is going, no, no, this is not good. No. And so I got out on the floor and I hope I get another white belt. Really, I got a brown belt, third degree. So we get into the committee situation and we get to fighting and I found that the fight was very one-sided. I got kicked and punched without even seeing it. My brain was not acclimated at all to those movements. So I went to my instructor and I said, I can't do this. And he says, yes, you can. I said, well, how do I do it? And he says, here's what you're going to do. He says, you and I and your class, we're going to do all those punches and all those kicks and all those moves individually together. Oh, without an opponent. And so we had to learn what we call the basic punches, the basic kicks, and the basic moves. We went over them and over them and over them till the point you got, when am I going to get into committee? And then the next time I got into committee, after doing all these punches and kicks and moves and got all educated how to do, how to stand, how to... And then I got in and I did a little better. But the thing that I noticed is my mind could start picking up on their moves before I received them. It means my mind was beginning to acclimate to the situation or the environment I was in. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, faith is a very, very interesting thing. Do you know that you're supposed to speak it while you have not received it? You know, Tim was sharing with the men yesterday that he said that he started speaking something that he did not feel he had yet in his physical body. And when he shared it, it was like, you're lying. You're saying something. It ain't true. And he says, then he got it. You see, God, this is what Abraham had learned about God. He said, God calleth those things that be not as though they were. When you get into a situation or a test and trial in your life and you're standing there, it's a matter of life and death. I'm going to tell you something. The one thing you'll struggle with is to say that you've received divine healing even though the doctor said you're a dead man walking. Amen. Are you following me? There's nothing more challenging to the mind than when you have to sit there and hear the words of what a man says and writes a sentence of death on you. And God, when you look into His Word, He says that He has provided divine healing for you. And to open your mouth and say, I receive my healing right now. And you just confess that and you get that thing lodged in your thinking. And then you meet somebody and the doctor said, nah, they're still there. Cancer's still there. And you say, no, it isn't. I'm healed by the name of Jesus. It means you've acclimated the way that you think so that you know the moves before they get you. Amen. You know the moves before He gets to you. And I'm going to tell you something. There's people that suffer and go through life. And the one thing you don't need to do is criticize them for what they go through. What you need to do is get in your prayer closet and get your face to God and start praying for them. That's what God gave you for salvation for, is for you to enter his state, even for those that don't have the victory. And then when they get the victory, you give God the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to stay away from this kind of thinking. Because you'll not win any victories with it. You won't win any battles with it. They'll undo you. I'll tell you something in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know that reasoning that he talks about? You know what that reasoning is? It's words that do not want to line up with the knowledge of God. And you have to take the knowledge of God and make that reasoning obey to the knowledge of God. And it will work for you. But the problem is, if you as a believer get sick and you just vacate and leave everybody and don't have good confession, I know your outcome. It's called death. Now, in closing, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at these laws of sowing and reaping. People, I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God in your lap has laws. The minute I picked this up, a law went into action. Did you guys know that? A law went into action. What was it? Huh? Gravity. Gravity still works. But guess what? I got the law of lift. Amen? So another law went into motion called the law of lift. I got news for you. When God created you as a new being in Christ Jesus, he put into your life the law of lift. So that the law of gravity don't keep pulling you down. Woo! There's another law too in this bottle. It deals with the law of thirst. But over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So now watch this. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. You know, when you face a situation in life, no matter what it is, do you know that when you apply the law of lift in your life, and God's behind it, did you know that God will give an increase to that if you do what is necessary for the law of lift to work? Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. Now notice this. Now if anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is not talking about the Bema, the reward seat of Christ. This is talking about what God gave as an increase in you so that when that day, that evil day comes, it's talking about Hermeris, it's talking about a 24-hour day period. It has nothing to do with entering into eternity, into a Bema or reward seat. It's talking about life itself will either, your experience to it will either survive the fire or the fire will burn you up. Now, I got news for you. Rick Renner preached on this passage one time. And he said, whenever fire went through buildings, the only thing that would stand would be the precious metals in it that would endure the heat. And everything that was not sound burned up. And it goes on to say, each one's work of what sort it is, if anyone works which he has built on it, endures. He's not talking about when you get to heaven you're going to endure. He's talking about what happens on the inside of you that God could give an increase. He will receive what? A reward, a wage that came with his works. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. You know something? You can go through a test or trial, but it's important how you go through it. Are you going to go through it with the help of men, or are you going to go through it with the help of God? Because if you go through it with the help of God, that area will not be a problem to you next time. Why? Because you'll know how to handle it. In God. I've seen people go through financial crisis. And because their own heart condemned them financially, they wouldn't go to God. They would trust in somebody else. Do you know what? That ain't going to do anything for your stewardship. If God's going to solicit you, He ain't going to solicit you with evil. He's going to solicit you with the responsibility that belongs to you. Why? So you'll come out of it on top. Thank God I've been born again. Thank God I've learned that life isn't going to give me any favor. But thank God I know I have favor with God, and life's going to have to bend to the favor God has given me. How about you? When you see what some people go through, it should get to your heart, not to your judgment. You learn that, especially when you have loved ones that you care about and they go through things. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. No use judging them. You get in your prayer closet and judge the situation to help them. Amen. We're here for one another. You know something? You can live and die and never get a revelation of the body of Christ in the earth. Did you know that? God showed me that. I was asking God, where's the church now? And he showed me a chessboard, and every one of the chips were in the wrong place. And I said, that's a weird looking chessboard. How are you going to begin the game with it like that? And I said, and some of them are chess pawns there instead of chips for tic-tac-toe or whatever you call it. Checkers. And I said, that's a weird looking checker table to me. And he said, well, that's the way the body of Christ is. People pick and choose the churches they want to go to rather than me planting them. And they get under leaders that they had no idea what the leaders are like, and they run into problems and they turn on the leader. And that's stupid. The reason you're there and you run into the problems is because God didn't plant you there. God will plant you where he wants you to be so you can grow. He wants to put you beside still waters, not difficult waters. I don't know why I'm going through. I'm going through what I'm going through. I know why you're there. Why? Because you don't belong there. Shut up, Jan. Shut up, John. You're making me preach this. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And Father, I just pray that every one of us get a revelation of what it means to actually stand on our own two feet and take the Word of God and the law of the Word of God and use it in whatever situation we get into. And Father, learn to put a hold on our mouth like you did Zacchaeus when he was promised to have a son that would bring the Savior into the world, and you shut his mouth up so he wouldn't mess it up. Father, we all need our mouths shut up so we won't mess it up. Hallelujah. And so, Father, today I just pray that whatever I shared with your people, to get a hold of it and begin to use your word to speak of things that be not as though they were. Learn how to deal with what real truth is in whatever situation they're faced with. Hallelujah. 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 Urash. Yes. I want to do things a little differently this morning. I want us all to stand together. I don't want to pick and choose anyone. I want us all to stand together this morning. Unless you're not saved, then I want you at the altar. But I think pretty much everybody in here is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not even filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be up here. Hallelujah. But I want us all together this morning, all of us, every single one of us. Now, you know, I don't have the authority to demand it of you, but I want us all to be very mindful that no matter what we face today or tomorrow, whatever is to come in the future for every one of us, that every one of us would consecrate ourselves to use the Word of God to correct the situation. To face that test or trial in life with the Word of God so that we would come out on the other side with all the treasure that God has been able to put into your heart so that you would not go to the other side with all your works burned up, but you would have an abundance on the other side of that trial or that test. How many are following what I'm saying? Is it all right for me to ask you to consecrate yourself to that? Then I'll pray that God will remind you of that in the test or trial. Dear Heavenly Father, our altar is the body. And as we all stand in recognition of you, Father, the next test or trial that we all go through, Father, may we be mindful that we face it with the faith that is necessary in your words to go through it so that we're not burned. To go through the waters and they don't overtake us. But Father, we succeed by the words of our mouth and the victory that you have put us in to have that authority as believers to execute it. And everyone here, I know, is in agreement with me. How many, is anybody here not in agreement with me? We'll pray for you at the altar. But are you all pretty much in an agreement that you're going to just ask the Lord to remind you to use the Word of God in your situation so you come through it? You guys ready for that? Father, in Jesus' name, we all make that promise to you that if it comes to our thinking, whatever trial we face again, we'll turn to you and use the Word to get through it. In Jesus' name. Father, may everybody be found to gold and silver and precious stone when they're tried by the fires of life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I'll have that one. You can go now.